The New York Knicks season has officially ended. In this episode, we're going to go through this amazing season and whether or not we think the New York Knicks should run it back. Let's do it. They're playing
basketball.
You're listening to the Knicks Nation podcast, where we've got all your Knicks needs covered.
Puts up a three. Bang! Bang! He ties the game!
Now, live from the city that never sleeps, here are your hosts, Anthony and Chris.
What's going on, Knicks Nation? We are back doing a podcast. This is episode 54 of the Knicks Nation podcast. The New York Knicks, the season is over. The great season, the successful season. Obviously, we're going to go through the highs and the lows, mostly highs. Ended in seven games in Madison Square Garden against the Indiana Pacers. They advanced to face the Boston Celtics. But, Chris, it's over. That's it.
Yeah, it's over. And right off the bat in the chat, we got Dakota. He says, there he is, Mr. Knicks in five. Correction, I said Knicks in six. And I was also one to say, hey, don't count these Pacers out. But, hey, regardless, look, all things said, obviously I'm upset. Obviously not how we wanted the series to go. But look, man, at the end of the day, we ran out of bodies, injury after injury after injury. But no excuses. Like this team said, you know, this team always went out there, battled with whoever they had. And yeah, man, look, all in all, when I look back on this season, I'm proud. I'm proud.
You got to be. You got to be proud of the boys. Obviously, the Knicks just ran out of gas, man. I mean, the gas tank was empty, and you know, Brunson broke his thumb there to end the season. So that was kind of like the final sword, and, you know, to this injury-riddled season. And look, injuries are part of the game. But, hey, I truly do think, Chris, this is the beginning of something special. Look, injuries suck. They happen. But imagine our January paired with Bogdanović and maybe even more pieces, you know? Remember, Bogdanović was here and he didn't really get to experience the full package, the full team when he got acquired. Randle was hurt and Anobi was hurt. That's why they traded for Bogey. But yeah, obviously we're going to go through it all. I mean, we're already seeing Julius Randle trade rumors on the timeline, whether or not he should stay, whether or not he should go. But can you remember a Knicks franchise having foundational pieces, tradable assets, draft picks, and financial flexibility?
No.
Can't, right?
No, that's the beautiful thing about it. I mean, look, if you want to take the good out of this season, obviously, yeah. You know, again, we lost to the Pacers, you know. And look, hey, Dakota, yo, respect to your Pacers. Look, hard fought series, you know, I give them all the credit. But yeah, what team wouldn't love to have the setup that we have right now? You know, having pieces that we can move, like you said, tradable assets, stockpiled draft picks, and our books are not cooked.
Yeah.
I mean, future is bright.
It is. The future is bright. But hey, I mean, you know, my sentiment is, look, obviously this season was an amazing season, but it's all about what the New York Knicks do next, right? We're always going to be looking forward. And I feel like after these back-to-back seasons, Chris, you know, of successful last year, you know, we lost against the Miami Heat. Everyone picked the Miami Heat. It's funny that in the second rounds, back-to-back years, we were favored in both of those rounds, and we wound up coming out on the short end. But Heat wound up going to the NBA Finals this year. Injury-riddled season. We still look at it as an excess because due to, obviously, we're without Randle and Anobi, Bogey. But come next year, Chris, it's like no more roses, you know? It's like what are you going to do to improve your team next year? We're going to expect the team to take another step. But I have confidence they will, and this summer is going to be a busy one for this team. It's going to be busy. Two draft picks coming up. Trade rumors. It's going to be busy.
Yeah.
Buckle up.
Exactly. Buckle up because, look,
yeah,
anybody that whispers anything Nick-related, like we already saw Donovan Mitchell rumors already are heating up just because he tweeted out, sheesh, AB, when AB was going off in the Pacers game, game seven. So be prepared for that, right? That's always going to be on the timeline no matter what. It's going to be X star possibly going to Knicks, right? But look, I agree with the flexibility we have, you know, from top to bottom, whether you want to say tradable assets, draft picks, whatever. I think, you know, making this deep run, well, not deep, still didn't get out of the second round, but with all the injuries, with what Brunson has done, you know, I think now is the time. Go out there and swing for that big piece, right? And tough decisions are going to have to be made. Some that we might like, some that we might not, you know? And that includes Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson, guys like that, you know? Does iHeart come back? I mean, those are all big questions that have to be answered. But I have faith in this team and the front office, you know? So far, they've done an amazing job with this team.
Yeah.
Let's just hope that continues going forward.
The big fish this summer that obviously we're going to be watching for is the free agency regarding Isaiah Hartenstein and OG Anunoby. Both are unrestricted free agents. Obviously, it'll be amazing to keep both of them, and I think we do really have a good chance to do so. But I think there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be knocking at Isaiah Hartenstein's door, his door, and be like, look, we'll throw you some more money, you know? Knicks, you know, I think they have a good shot at retaining Isaiah Hartenstein. I think he loves New York. I think he loves the city. I think he loves the fans. But, and then we have do we keep Precious? I think Burks is a restricted. No, he's unrestricted, right? Burks unrestricted.
I think he's unrestricted.
Like, do we go that route or do we go younger? You know, question about this series, Chris. Do you think Alec Burks should have played a little bit more? Just kind of throwing it back a little bit. Do you think Tom Thibodeau should have went to Alec Burks sooner in the rotation, considering, like, I heard it all. Like, Burks, obviously, he couldn't hit the side of the barn when he was in playing for us when he got acquired. But because I've been hearing that question a lot. Do you feel like Burks should have been in there sooner?
Look, I think in hindsight, obviously, yes.
Yeah.
Obviously. Because if you knew he was going to go out there and give you the production he gave, we would have all signed up for that, you know? Everybody's been critical of Tibbs, you know, seven-man, six-man rotation. Although, to that I say, who the hell else were you going to throw out there? Because we literally did not have enough bodies. I mean, Charlie Brown Jr., we saw some Sims out there. They didn't look great. But, you know, look, like I said, in hindsight, I think that's an easy answer, yes. Obviously, AB went out there, balled out. And I was one of those guys that was like, hey, I don't want to give up on Burks. There's no way he's just washed out all of a sudden coming to the Knicks. We all know he had some issues at first because of, you know, some personal reasons. That's been well documented by now. And look, he came through us with flying colors when we needed him the most.
Yeah.
In this Pacers series. So I don't think anybody could have saw that ahead of time, but you could argue just by the sheer amount of injuries we sustained that, sure, he probably should have been in there sooner. Just if not for expecting any production, but simply having a body out there who could spell rest for Josh Hart or JB or insert name here, you know?
Yeah.
So in that regard, I would say yeah, but that's kind of a loaded question in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm just kind of like reflecting through everything and like what could we have done better and this and that. But ultimately, I think Tom Thibodeau did an amazing job working with what he had due to all of these injuries. I think Tom Thibodeau will get an extension this summer. He said that's, you know, a question for his agent. But you don't really leave a coach heading into his final year of his contract. You want to kind of give him that, you know, Give him that confidence. Be like, hey, we believe in you. And it's all about the culture with this New York Knicks team. Obviously, we can talk about the draft picks, the tradable contracts, the flexibility. But what I love is that what we didn't have prior is culture. Culture, culture, culture. Yes. And that is ultimately what's going to take us to the promised land, building the right culture led by Jalen Brunson and co. So should the New York Knicks run it back? Julius Randle, OG Anunoby, Isaiah Hartenstein, Chris, I'm going to pose three guys to you. Who is the guy that's least likely to be back out of that trio? Julius Randle, OG Anunoby, and Isaiah Hartenstein. Like I said earlier, we're already seeing Julius Randle stuff. It's kind of murky. Pose a question to you.
That's a tough question, man. That's not something I'm like ready to even think about. But I guess, look, out of those three, who would be? I hate to say it, but I think it's iHeart. I think it's iHeart. Look, it's no secret he balled out, you know, with Mitch being absent majority of the games this season, and he just got in there, and it's like we didn't miss a beat. Not only did we not miss a beat, we got better because he was an offensive threat, something that Mitch, you know, doesn't have in his bag other than lobs and putback dunks, right? Mm-hmm. IR has that floater. We're all used to seeing it by now. That thing is just deadly. With that said, we said many times throughout this season, IR's going to get a bag, man. And there's going to be teams out there that look big men that can protect the rim and score. They're at a premium, you know? Can he stretch the floor? Supposedly it's in there, but we don't see it much from the Knicks, right? I know when he was with the Clippers, he was able to shoot the three ball here and there. But look, you know, he's going to get the bag. And yeah, I think he's the more likely to not be here. It's just simply because teams are going to key in on him and want to get him off the Knicks.
I think where there's smoke, there's fire. So it's funny. The day after the Knicks season ended, we saw Shams come out saying that rival executives are going to be watching the Julius Randle situation regarding the New York Knicks about whether they extend him or they keep him or whatever. Obviously, a few weeks ago, the news was that Julius Randle went back to CAA. So that was out of the blue. So obviously, I think Randle wants to be a New York Knick, but man, it is so tough, man. Like,
it's tough.
The Julius Randle situation, like, obviously, we all know the first year he was in the playoffs versus the Hawks wasn't that great.
Yep.
Last year, injured versus the Miami Heat, wasn't really Julius Randle. This year, injured. So it's like we really haven't seen it in the postseason from Julius Randle. We've seen it in the regular season from Julius Randle. And I keep going back to January. It was amazing with OG Anunoby and the core.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of questions surrounding, you know, if the New York Knicks go after somebody else. Julius Randle is probably going to be in that package. Mitchell Robinson is probably a name to watch this summer too. It's probably going to be in a package as well. Yeah, who's least likely to come back out of that group? You know, the smart answer is Isaiah Hartenstein, but I do, because I think OG Anunoby is going to be back. I think what we saw from Anunoby, especially in Game 7, where he couldn't run, he risked pretty much his body to be out there for his teammates in a contract year. So that tells you that he has some type of, like, inclination that he's going to get re-signed from the New York Knicks. Isaiah Hartenstein, like we said, somebody can throw a lot of money at him, but it's up to the player whether or not he wants to leave or whether or not he wants to stay. Julius Randle, man, I keep going back to one of the that's a name to watch. That's a name to watch, but it's like, you know, I keep going back to January, but at the same time, it's like, how do the Knicks kind of, and do they want to run it back? Do they want to improve? Or do they want to just improve in increments? Do they want to improve the bench? Do they want to replace Mitchell Robinson? What are your thoughts about Mitchell Robinson?
Hey, that was going to be my next question to you, actually. It was going to be, hey, what do you think about Mitch? But look, here's how I feel about Julius Randle, in my opinion. And yeah, it goes back to January as well. Look, obviously, you know, Julius Randle in the playoffs left much to be desired, right? Wasn't great in the Hawks series, got hurt in the Heat series. But look, I feel like that's a big question mark only because the Hawks series was basically Julius Randle's first taste in the playoffs, you know, basically as the man, right? I think it's completely different when you have Jalen Brunson. And not even last season's Jalen Brunson, but this season's Jalen Brunson. Because we saw Julius, JB, OG Anunoby together. And it looked like a completely different Julius Randle. Engaged on defense, hitting his shots at a high clip. If he would get doubled, you kick it out to OG, you kick it out to JB, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Honestly, the way I feel, I want Julius Randle back. I want Julius Randle back, man. It's hard to replace 20 and 10, you know? And, you know, I think Knicks fans are quick to forget, you know, how good Julius Randle could actually be. Granted, shoulder injury, we don't know if it's going to be something that lingers because he did try to, you know, news leaked out that he tried to rehab it and then had a setback. So I get that as well. But don't get me wrong. If the right piece comes around and it's another star, somebody that can help this team and is going to give you close to the same production Julius is going to give you, maybe fit better, I'm down for that as well. But part of me wants to see this Knicks team run it back and maybe tinker with a few pieces, whether that's Mitch, whether that's Precious, whether that's, you know, I mean, that's pretty much the guys I think I would tinker with at this point. But, you know, part of me wants to see Julius Randle because, look, yes, he got injured, but that's not his MO. Julius Randle is usually a healthy guy, marathon guy who plays 90% of the games he's out there for. So,
yeah, it's just, like I said, bad luck, man, freak injuries, but it's like.
Yeah,
it's tough, man. I hit some of these comments. Appreciate every single one of you in here joining us tonight. We wanted to kind of recap the season, but now we're on to pretty much the summer, and everyone's pretty much moving on to what's next for this New York Knicks team. And we're seeing it a lot over, you know, regarding news-wise for the New York Knicks. Big Tass, what's going on, Big Tass? The CAA move tells me that he wants to be a New York Knicks. No surprise, Julius Randle wants to be. He wants to stay in New York. He wants to stay in New York. Mike says, we got to give Isaiah Hartenstein the bag and let Mitch go in a trade, like you said. I brought it up on the post game, Chris, that I think Mitchell Robinson, I'm not sure about his future as a New York Knick.
Yeah.
Big Taz says, I believe that Mitch will not be back. The Knicks will trade Mitch. He's a tradable contract, and he's valuable. Say what you want with Mitchell Rob for. Say what you want on Mitchell Robinson. Great player, great defensive player, excuse me. But if you're going to improve, somebody has to go.
Exactly.
Mike Wood says the starters go. What's going on, Mike? Appreciate you in here. Mike Wood says the starters go back into the starting lineup. The bench goes back to being the bench. I think we go from there in terms of adding what we need. We have all the right things to get it done this off season. Dakota says draft Bronny. We'll talk about that later. If the New York Knicks should dabble in that. John, there are rumors we will get Mikal. Yeah, we'll see about that. Big Taz, if the Knicks decide to trade Randle, hopefully they replace his productivity. Yeah, look.
Yep.
Starting five, Brunson, DiVincenzo, OG Anunoby, Julius Randle, and Isaiah Hartenstein. That's your starting five that was pretty much dominating the NBA in January. What do they go, like 14? 12-3? Yeah, yep. They were just dominating. And again, that's not without our bench players. That's not without, Bogdanovich and no Burks. Pretty much no scoring off the bench. That's what we needed. That's why we traded for those guys. You got the ascension of Deuce McBride. That was without Mitchell Robinson because he was still hurt. But it's going to be a name to watch. If the Knicks dabble in, I see CM in the chat saying Paul George and Colin Sexton.
Now we're liking Paul George.
You know, it's funny, Chris. Who was Julius Randle's name connected to for many years?
It was the Clippers.
No.
The Clippers are one of them, too.
Clippers are one of them. And who else? They're still in the playoffs right now.
Dallas.
Timberwolves.
Dallas as well, though.
Yeah. And look, at Dallas, Timberwolves, too. And who was the guy in the Timberwolves that is always linked to the New York Knicks? Always.
Karl Anthony Towns.
I wonder if Knicks fans kind of have changed their stance on Cat, because he is absolutely balling right now for the Minnesota Timberwolves. But I think the Timberwolves, they found a foundation there. I'm not saying that'll happen, but where there's smoke, there's fire. And that Randle situation is going to be interesting to watch.
Well, it's funny you say that, though, because, you know, with the new bargaining agreement and things changing, can the Wolves even keep Karl Anthony Towns?
Yeah.
I think that's part of the problem with this Wolves team. I think it's do or die for them, in my opinion. You know, if they don't make something happen, which, look, you know, they took out Denver, which is insane.
Yeah, I know.
They took out a fully healthy Denver squad. You know, so it's looking good for them. But come the off season, I think they're going to have a lot of decisions. And Cat's a big one, because that contract is just massive, massive.
It is massive. And Randall's kind of going to, he's not going to, I don't think he will get that like $50 million a year, like what Cat is getting. Big Taz says, oh yeah, Cat. Big Taz says Cat is still thumbs down in the chat. But look, Cat was a name that I was kind of like, no, I don't want Cat. He's like side, kind of like a lateral move to Julius Randle. But like watching him in these playoffs has kind of changed my tune a little bit, because even defensively, you know, on Jokic, he's playing great defense. But like, I don't think they're going to trade Cat. But look, they have luxury tax they have to deal with and whatnot. But realistically, go ahead. You were going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you say that, but he has Gobert next to him, you know?
Yeah.
And I also feel when you go back and you put the parallels between, you know, Cat's situation and Julius when he's next to OG, that's kind of what I was talking about. Julius looked different. You know, he was just more active on the defensive end, you know, putting the effort. And that's really all it is with Julius on that side, is effort. Because we've seen it. When Julius wants to play defense, he's blocking shots at the rim, chase down blocks, things like that. I really think, like you said, it's a lateral move, in my opinion. And I do think the Knicks could get him. Maybe not a super team-friendly discount, but I think Julius is willing to work with the Knicks, especially since signing back with CAA. Don't you think that maybe they could work on something where it's like, hey, if you guys are willing to sacrifice a little, we can build something special and keep y'all all together.
Yeah, it was like such a random it was such a random move for Julius Randle to go back to CAA. He wants that contract extension and he wants to be in New York. But realistically, what I would do this summer, obviously we have two first round draft picks. Whether you think the Knicks will use those two first round draft picks to actually draft people, or whether they kind of punt to accumulate more draft picks. But I'm looking at the bench, and maybe if something, the only move that I'm making, like we've heard Kevin Durant rumors, but the only move, if he's available, that I'm making, and you've spoken about it before, is Devin Booker. That's the only move that I'm kind of like putting my chips in.
Yeah.
But Mikal Bridges is his name, and Donovan Mitchell. But I really do think that if you put like sort of like another ball handler next to Brunson, look, DiVincenzo has taken major steps, but having DiVincenzo coming in off the bench with Josh Hart just makes our team even deeper. But realistically, what I was trying to get out, I kind of went on our little tangent there, but I do think we've seen the last of Mitchell Robinson in a Knicks jersey. I do.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, it's been season after season after season, and you see it, man, Mitch, when he's out there, defensive, just monster out there.
Yeah.
He clocks shots everywhere, whether that's in the paint or even in the perimeter. He's amazing. You know, he's an all NBA defensive type of player. And unfortunately, he just cannot stay on the court, just injury after injury. And I think, you know, the Knicks are basically at a point where, look, I think you saw it this season, right? The way we were thinking has shifted. It's now not just make the playoffs, but it's be a contender year in and year out. You know, be a contender to win the NBA championship. And you need bodies to do that. And you can't have somebody who's injury prone on the roster, because we've seen it with Mitch, unfortunately. Come playoff time, usually he's not available due to injury. And it sucks because I love Mitch. And he's a big part of this team as well, you know?
Yeah.
But he just seems like the most logical guy, you know, as far as having a movable contract. Teams are going to look at that and obviously know what he brings on defense. And there's going to be a team out there that's going to say, hey, you know, we're better than the Knicks medical. I'm sure we could keep him healthy. So, you know, I think it's Mitch as well. You know, I think it's Mitch. And, yeah. You know, or who knows, right? Maybe he comes back and the Knicks just limit his minutes and say, we're going to save you for the playoffs. But in my opinion, yeah, you need that salary in order to improve the team.
Look, Mitchell Robinson, last time he played 70 plus games was in 21-22, where he played 72 games, 22-23, 59 games, this season 31 games. Yeah. Got rewarded with a contract. And look, when he was out there, I think he had a great first round for the Knicks. He fought his tail back guarding Embiid and had, you know, some amazing moments in the first round of the playoffs. But we're talking about like improving this team, and you know, I do think they're gonna kind of guarantee that Bogdanovich contract to kind of give you more scoring off that bench. I think that's kind of a lock, because then you can maybe use Bogdanovich in a trade later down the line, sort of like a Fournier, but actually a player that plays.
A productive player.
Yeah, not just a lame duck on the bench like Fournier was. But and then the bench, you would have him, Deuce is in a great contract, and Mitchell Robinson. And obviously Josh Hart is supposed to be on our bench. And he was starting for the majority of the season due to injury. Yeah. So if you can kind of get like, I've been wanting like kind of like the Knicks were interested in Naz Reid too to start this, yeah. To start the season. But didn't work out, signed that contract with Minnesota. But kind of like a player like that, you know, because who's the team you need to beat? Boston.
Yep.
So sort of like that's where I would go in this summer, is kind of improve the bench, tinker with it, maybe draft a project, you know, maybe draft a center that can stretch the floor or something like that, or maybe draft another big wing, you know, like a 6'8", 6'9", guy who can play defense. I mean, those guys are rare in the NBA. But that's where I would go. Obviously, you know.
No, yeah, I agree, though. I agree, though, because, look, that's the future of the NBA, right? I mean, that's where the NBA is at right now. You got guys like Kat, guys like Laurie Marketing, you know, Porzingis, you know, out there that are at the five spot or the four spot, you know, bigs that can shoot the ball from anywhere. So, and you see Naz Reid now, you know, playing obviously for the Wolves, re-upped with them.
Off the bench.
And he's a big piece for them. I mean, he was giving it to Jokic as well, you know?
Yeah.
And hitting big shot after big shot. And that's something I think we're missing on the Knicks. You know, yes, we have Iheart at the moment, able to, you know, toss up those floaters. And then we had Mitch, who really couldn't do anything but catch lobs or put back dunks. So I think that's a big part of our, you know, team that's kind of lacking, you know, because once Randall went down, we kind of lost that big with the outside touch, you know, who was a threat. I think that's a logical move for the Knicks to make. Whether, like you said, that's using a draft pick, trading for somebody, you know, well, that's yet to be determined. But yeah, I agree. That's actually a big need, in my opinion, on this Knicks squad.
Yeah, obviously, if Isaiah Hartenstein is no longer with the New York Knicks, then Mitchell Robinson, you are our starting center. But yeah, it all falls on Isaiah Hartenstein. If he's going to be back, then I think the Knicks can be flexible in, you know, whether it's a trade for Mitchell Robinson or whatnot. But I do think if the Knicks re-sign Hartenstein, and I think that's the goal, Hartenstein and Anunoby, then I think they can be flexible with Mitch. But Chris, I mean, if Hartenstein signs with like OKC, who's been dying for a big and needs rebounds and offensive rebounds for a crazy amount of money, then Mitch, you're back in the starting five, you know? So
yeah. Which is insane, because I have heard that. I heard OKC is going to be out there for a big, and it's just like, don't you guys have Chet Holmgren? Isn't he like 7 foot everything? Why is he not blocking shots, getting boards, and all that stuff is beyond me. But look, yeah, it's no secret. NBA teams are going to be after iHeart, especially what he did on this New York Knicks team. And yeah, man, look, I think you're right. It's all going to revolve around what happens with iHeart, and then everything kind of falls in place after that.
Yeah.
So hopefully we retain iHeart. Like I said, I want us to run it back, tweak some pieces on the bench, and go for it again, man. Because one thing's for sure, I want this core to stick together, you know. And it goes beyond just Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, and Jalen Brunson. I'm also including OG Anunoby and Julius Randle in there.
Yeah. Yeah, hit some of these comments. Appreciate every single one of you in here. Subscribe to the channel. Smash the like button. Appreciate every single one of you. Big Tass says, I don't want Donovan Mitchell at all, but Booker? ... It's whether or not the Phoenix Suns want to kind of blow it up there. Yeah. CM says, let Randle sit out the season and play the playoffs. Yeah, CM, can't do that. See if Klay Thompson is an option. What do you think about Klay, Chris?
I don't hate it. I guess it depends on what you're going to give for him or pay him, I should say. And whether he even wants to come to the East. Because I'm hearing, you know, if he wasn't going to stay with the Warriors, he's definitely going to re-up somewhere else in the West.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't hate it, but it all depends on what we have to give up for him.
Donovan, what's going on? Says, can we get Bridges without trading Randle? OG is a keeper. Yeah, I think OG Anunoby should be priority number one for this New York Knicks team. Obviously, we play at a different level with Anunoby on the court. But the Nets, Chris, I saw a report saying that they're willing to listen to offers for Bridges. I think I saw that somewhere on Twitter. You know, I don't know what's true, what's fake. What's not?
I was gonna say I heard reports of teams offering them 7 picks. And
yeah, that was before.
Yeah, but that's insane.
Yeah. So
what are the Nets doing?
I don't know, but
that's crazy.
No, I don't think, like, in order to get Bridges, they're gonna want a lot, because they're gonna know what we're trying to do: pair the Villanova crew together in Madison Square Garden. So they're going to want some kind of incentive. But so, yeah, I think, I don't know. What would you give up for Mikal Bridges? I don't know.
I mean, it's going to have to be most of the draft capital, right?
You got to make the money work.
You're going to pay the Knicks tax. It's going to be a premium for us, and that's for sure, you know, versus any other team, simply because we're, you know, right across town. So it'll start there, and then, I mean, maybe you add Mitch. Maybe you add, you'd got to figure they'd want somebody like Julius Randle, right?
Yeah.
They'd want somebody who's going to be a star type of player, so you'd probably put Julius Randle in there. I don't know. I'm so hesitant to give up Julius Randle, man. I went from, you know, trade Randle a couple seasons back to just like, you know, again.
Well, because then you got a void. Then you're
– Yeah.
Yeah. You're looking for a big body down low. You're looking for that bully. But on the flip side,
is Julius going to be able to play that bully ball that we've all grown accustomed to seeing? Injury? Yeah.
It's a question that you got to ask. It's a question. Especially with him, you know, re-injuring his shoulder, like you said, it's a very valid question. But I'm seeing a lot of comments saying, I pray we get a stretch five. Mike says, when we were healthy, we were going to be running teams out of the gym every single night. We need a second ball handler to get the bench production up. A smart pass first point guard that can spread the floor. Agree. Yes. I think Burks is going to be gone. So Deuce is kind of, you need another ball handler. Like Tyus Jones was a name during the trading deadline that the New York Knicks were interested in. Chris Paul may be a name to watch, but he's kind of like on the older side. But I still do want the Knicks to go on like young and kind of match their, you know, age. But look, ball handler and kind of like more defense off the bench, whether that's drafting somebody or, you know, it's the decision on Mitchell Robinson, really. Because I think Bogey's going to be here. I think that's a lock. So.
If you're the Knicks, I mean, I also believe we definitely need a backup point guard. I would love it to be a veteran type of point guard. Do the Knicks revisit Malcolm Brogdon? Yeah. I know we're harping on injuries and whatnot, and Malcolm Brogdon's another type that has also got the injury bug, but he's the type of vet that I think I wanted him, around the time we acquired OG, I thought he was going to be the next piece coming in.
Yeah.
And I just think he fits. I think he would fit this squad tremendously.
I do think the Knicks value kind of that 3-and-D wing. Obviously, those guys are rare, which is the reason why we acquired Ananobi. PJ Washington was a name that was rumored to be a New York Knick at the trading deadline. And now he's doing good things for Dallas, right? Yeah. Somebody said in the chat, Sadiq Bey was also a name that was rumored to be a New York Knick. Bigger body, kind of like that type of player. I think the Knicks want another one of those types of players off the bench that can kind of give you more than offensively than Precious, because Precious, I think, is a good defender, underrated. But I think they're looking for, more offense, more of an offensive punch in that regard. So that's where the Knicks, they were interested in those two players. And they're kind of telling you the type of player that they want to acquire. Remember, they were interested in, we just talked about him, the guy in Minnesota.
Naz Reid,
yeah. I just had a brain fart. Naz Reid, kind of a guy who can handle the ball, big. They're interested in those types of players. So it's going to be interesting to see this summer.
Yeah.
Who's that guy?
I think also, another shot creator. Type, somebody who can go out there and get a bucket. Obviously we thought that was going to be AB, and yes, he did that come playoff time. But maybe somebody on the younger side who's able to go out there and no way, buzzer beater, OG for Mikal. I don't agree. If we're getting Mikal, OG is going to still be on the Knicks, in my opinion. Yeah. But I think a shot creator type. And yeah, I mean, to me, the biggest needs for me on this Knicks team would be a veteran point guard off the bench and a stretch big who's able to, hit that shot, kind of stretch the floor and give us that, dynamic that we don't have right now with Mitch and Ihart.
Yeah. I think somebody said Sadiq Bey he tore his ACL, so he's out for next season, so. Thank you for bringing that up, for clarifying that. I forgot about that.
That sucks.
But this came out today, Chris. This was ESPN's top trade targets for the New York Knicks. Wow. And as soon as the Knicks season ended, not even 24 hours in, I saw Julius Randle's getting traded. I saw Donovan Mitchell wants to be a Knick. It's this summer, obviously, the NBA summers are crazy as is, but here are the top trade targets. This is the list from ESPN New York. Wow. Devin Booker, Mikal Bridges, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, Paul George, and Donovan Mitchell. If you were picking one of these guys off of this list, and you're going to have to give to get, so we can go through it, but I think I know where you're going to go, but...
Who would be my first pick? It's Devin Booker, man. It's Devin Booker.
Yeah.
He fits this team like a glove, man. Talk about somebody you could just insert, and we're deadly, man. JB, Devin Booker, and whoever else. I mean, granted, look, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal, insert all these guys' names, didn't work out. But I do feel like Devin Booker on the Knicks, you know, I think that'd be amazing. But it's going to come at a cost, and what are you losing? Because you're not just getting Devin Booker for money. It's not going to be Devin Booker or Julius Randle straight up, you know?
Yeah.
So you might lose a guy like Devo in that trade. You might lose, you know, somebody important. One of the core guys most likely will go. So, but if I had a pick, of course, it's Devin Booker.
Yeah, this was a little list I thought I would bring to you guys. Kevin Durant's name to watch. That'd be funny, right? I mean, geez, one could have been a Knick in 2019, and now he's being rumored again.
Are the Knicks cool now? Are we cool now? I think
we're
pretty cool now.
I know. And Donovan Mitchell, I think the Knicks have kind of passed that sale. Paul George's name has kind of been, you know, he's an unrestricted free agent. He would have to he would have to pick up his option, and then obviously they would have to trade him to us.
I still would love to have Paul George on the New York Knicks. I think he checks a lot of boxes, but it's no secret. We also, I think there's been rumblings that he wants to get paid. He wants the max. So it's kind of where I fall off on that.
Yeah. And Bridges, Durant, Booker. Look, the realistic way is I think the New York Knicks kind of tinker with their bench and kind of tinker with things, and then we just go from there. I don't see them. A lot of NBA execs say this summer is going to be a lot of movement in the NBA. And the Knicks could, you know, they don't have to acquire anybody. They could just be like a third team that kind of makes a nice move, just help facilitate a trade to get, more draft picks or something like that and still improve our team. Because you can argue this season, a healthy Knicks team could have took Boston to the brink. You can argue that.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah, without a doubt.
And what do we say? Like Boston, Porzingis, if he gets hurt, this or that. And what happened? Porzingis is out. And it just stinks because, you know, these last 2 years, this is why Brunson, in his post game after the game, he pretty much called this season not a success. He pretty much said that it wasn't a success because we didn't win the championship. And the Knicks, these last two seasons, successful, yes, futures is bright, but looking back at last year against the Miami Heat, everyone was picking us to win, and it kind of opened up a little bit for us to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Didn't happen. This year, we beat the 76ers. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, Eastern Conference Finals for sure. And then injuries catch up. Pacers get hot, 70% in the first half, making history, nailing every single shot. Halliburton taking his 4 or 5 step back threes that they don't call a travel on. I'm still salty about that, but you're seeing the Boston Celtics waiting for us, and you go up 2-0, you go up 3-2, and it's like, damn, we couldn't just get one more.
Yes.
And you know the teams are going to improve. You know, Milwaukee's going to – I'm not worried about Milwaukee, but Philly's going to do something. Teams around us are going to improve. So, successful season. We have all our draft picks, yes. We have financial flexibility, yes. We have a leader in Jalen Brunson, yes. And we were doing this without our core, pretty much. But all in all, I don't think the Knicks go – like big fish hunting this summer, unless something drastically changes.
I don't know, man. I think they are. I really think they are. I do. I think they are. I mean, look, obviously Jalen Brunson is going to consider this season, you know, unsuccessful because, look, there's scenarios where you could play out if the Knicks got through this Pacers series that we had a shot, you know? And look, any team has a shot when it comes to the playoffs. But when you look back, you know, you're up 2-0 in the series versus the Pacers. You had two chances, multiple chances to close out the series. Couldn't get it done, you know, no excuses. You know, if I'm Jalen Brunson, of course I'm feeling like this season was unsuccessful.
Yeah.
You know, but when you circle back in hindsight, you know, just think of the season as a whole. Look, I'm proud of this team, everything they've accomplished. You know, a lot of people forget. We weren't even projected to be a play-in team. We were projected to maybe grab one of the last few play-in spots. And we end up with the second seed, you know. Get to the second round, 2-0 lead to the Pacers. And look, credit to the Pacers. They took it to us. They didn't back down. They won the series. But you got to give it to this Knicks team, man. All the adversity we face, you got to be proud of this team, man. Such a likable group of guys. And all the positives that are to come, you know. Draft picks, we got them. Tradable assets, we got them. You know, some big decisions, obviously, on guys that need to get paid. You know, my priority is OG Anunoby. Got to re-sign that man simply for the impact he had on this team in, what, 20, 30 games. You know, that's my priority. But look, I feel good about the future. But I do think the Knicks, considering how things went with Jalen Brunson, I think they're going to go out there and get a big guy. They're going to look for a star.
Yeah. Hey. It's interesting. S550, what's going on, man? Haven't seen you in a while. If I had to pick, it would be George, OG, and George on the wing would be crazy, but I want to keep the same core. He's talking about Paul George.
Yeah. I would love that.
Yeah, because then OG would be your four, right? He would essentially be your four.
The thing I love about that is that, you know, yes, Paul George is an older player. But look, we saw it even this season as an older player. He was keeping the Clippers, you know, in games late in the season when Kawhi Leonard basically missed a large portion of the season. And he was there to pick up the slack. And even with James Harden there, you know, he was dropping 20, 25, 30-point games left and right. Yes, injuries are still a concern with him. But you put him on this Knicks team and we get taller, you know, we get more length, which I think is, again, something that hurt us in the Pacers series. We just did not have a size advantage at all outside of Ihart.
That needs to improve. Yeah.
I kept thinking in the Pacers series, man, if Mitch was coming off the bench when Jackson was coming off the bench for the Pacers and sparking them, all that spark that was out there, basically because we couldn't grab boards or get the loose balls, if Mitch is in there, I feel like he shuts that down. And there goes a big chunk of the Pacers, you know, energy, and basically cripples their, you know, their fast breaks. But that's all in hindsight now. But yeah. I think another, you know, what I'm basically trying to say is the Knicks need more length. They need taller players. They need more length. And that's why I think you just can't get rid of a Julius Randle, and why I think somebody like a Paul George, who's just, you know, able to stretch the floor, lengthy, still defends at a high level, in my opinion, would fit perfectly on this team. Him, OG Anunoby, Randall, Jalen Brunson. I mean, come on. That sounds amazing.
It does, but you're essentially putting OG Anunoby at the four, which I don't mind. I don't mind it at all, because you would start Devo and JB and Paul George and OG and Hartenstein. Hopefully we can get, you know, him figured out, but yeah, that's an option. So, you know, Knicks have a few options. It's like, do you trade the assets for Paul George, or do you kind of bring back Randall and kind of just tinker with things here and there and, you know, improve your team in increments? I don't know. It's front office has made – look, one thing we were preaching – well, not preaching, but one thing we were asking ourselves before they made the OG and Anunoby trade is – they weren't really, they were being very, you know, safe with their assets. They didn't want to, you know, trade all their assets for Donovan Mitchell. They wanted to wait for the right move. Yeah. And when they did do so, it was for OG Anunoby, that big body, 3-and-D, 7-foot wingspan, and he made a massive difference. And we still were able to keep, you know, our guys, you know, RJ, IQ, Toronto. But we saw how it looked, right? And I just don't know, like, if you're Leon Rose, right? Put yourself in Leon Rose's, put your GM hat. Like, I don't know if you go into this summer and just want to change everything after what we saw in January.
Yeah.
I can't get to that headspace. I don't think the front office is going to operate like that. I don't think they're going to be like, all right, Randall, you weren't healthy. You haven't been performing in the playoffs. You've had great regular seasons, but we're going to ship you off to Team X. And I don't know. Like, I'm trying to picture that, but.
No, yeah, that's going to be the toughest part. That is the toughest part about the way the season ended, right? You have that January where it looked amazing. You know, we were as healthy as we were probably going to get at that point in time. And we went 12-3, I believe, before the injury bug started hitting us. And you saw extra effort from guys. You know, I believe that first game with OG Anunoby on the court, Jalen Brunson had 14 assists. Yeah. Granted, you know, he's been doing that throughout the season. His assist numbers have been going up. But that's also another factor of having OG Anunoby out there. You know, OG Anunoby plus minus through the roof almost every game he played. Julius Randle giving the extra effort on defense, still dropping, you know, massive amount of points. So you fast forward to the way the season ended, all our bench guys and then some are out there, you know, playing, and most of our core guys are out. You kind of think back to that January and you say, man, you know, we know a lot of these were not fluke, but just, you know, crazy, unexpected injuries. You know, hamstrings obviously happen. Julius Randle's shoulder was a freak accident. You know, you kind of start thinking, what if we run it back?
Yeah. But do you get what I'm saying? Like, you see them making a change, like trading for a star or somebody, but it's like, I don't know. I just don't like, that's why I brought up the Mitchell Robinson aspect. That's why obviously a lot falls on to the Isaiah Hartenstein situation. Like, if we were to retain him, then I think the Knicks would kind of tinker with things. But if he goes to sign somewhere else, then that changes things. I think there's a plan A, there's a plan B, there's a plan C, and there's a plan D. Obviously, Randall's health should be in question. Hartenstein contract, Anunoby's contract, the draft picks, and then you go on from there. But yeah, that's why I brought up Mitch. That's why I feel like Mitch is going to be that next guy to go. Like, it was RJ, it was Quickly, it was Obi, and I think it's going to be Mitch. That's just my opinion, you know?
Yeah. I mean, look, again, it's no secret. This is Jalen Brunson's team, you know? In the grand scheme of things, unfortunately, like I said, with Mitch, he's been injury prone, and it sucks. Look, and I hope he stays, you know? Maybe somehow the Knicks find a way, but if I had to guess, he'd be the odd man out, right?
Yeah.
So that's just the reality of it. And yeah, man, I would love to see the Knicks run it back. I would love to see the Knicks run it back, add a few pieces here and there, and let's see how it goes, right? Keep this core group of guys together. We saw how good it could be, you know? We just got to make it come playoff time and be as healthy as possible. But that's a big if, you know? You never know how the season's going to play out.
I remember last year, I came into the season kind of like, well, if the Knicks are going to trade for somebody, their assets are going to be RJ and Quickly. Like, those guys are going to be the odd man out. And Obi Toppin obviously got traded too. So you kind of see the writing on the wall. You kind of see their direction.
Yeah.
So just Just my opinion. Somebody says run it back, but I would try to trade Bogey and picks for Mikal Bridges. Bogdanovich and picks for Mikal Bridges. I think the Nets will probably want more than Bogey, but...
I'd be honest with you. I mean, look, out of all the names you had put up on that ESPN graphic, you know, with Devin Booker, KD, Joel Embiid, Paul George, Mikal Bridges, you know, out of all those guys, I think probably the guy that you might, and again, this is depending on how this team wants to go about things, you know, it'll be the Nets, right? It'll be the Nets to maybe they would just want to, maybe they had a change of heart. They go from not wanting to trade Mikal Bridges to, you know what, let's blow it up, start from scratch. Let's get as many assets as we can possibly get. And I could see some, you know, something like that for Mikal Bridges. Maybe we give up 5-6 picks, you know, whatever it be. And who knows, maybe a Bogey, maybe a Mitch in that deal as well. You know, that would be all salary relief for the Nets. I could see that. But that's only if the Nets are really just going to completely blow it up and start from scratch, in my opinion.
Yeah, look, no matter how you put it, man, like we open up this podcast, I said, look, Knicks have a bright future. Heck of a season. I think this season was a success, even what Brunson, he has that Jeter mentality and that Aaron Judge mentality. Just no, you didn't win the championship. It was a failure. I love it too. But I feel like in a room by himself with his family, they're probably, you know, like, look, you had a great year. The season was a success. We're building. And look, Knicks are in a good place right now, you know. I truly do think that, you know, the Tom Thibodeau hate, it's just a performative. I saw a couple of comments saying, "Would Devin Booker, is Devin Booker a Thibs guy?" But look, Thibs is a culture. This team is building something here, and this year just wasn't our year. This kind of was a year before the year. The year or the 2 years, maybe we can win a championship. But we're on the right path, all in all. Future's bright. This summer, obviously, players are going to come in and out. But as long as we keep our core, as long as we got number 11, and we finally got a couple of draft picks this year that we can kind of go through the draft process and tinker with. So, yeah, we could, look, we've been talking about trades and whatnot. Obviously, it's super early. It's May 20th. A lot of people would be are going to be rumored to be a New York Knick, I'm sure, in these next coming months. So, but this is where the fun starts, you know. I mean, buckle up, you know.
It's gonna be fun without a doubt. Again, sucks that it happened this soon. You know, I was hoping for Knicks and Boston, but again, credit to the Pacers for closing out the series. You know, and not giving up when they were down in it. But look, future is bright for this New York Knicks team, and we got to be doing something right? Because all I keep hearing about is negativity in the media. You had Paul Pierce stomping on Jalen Brunson's jersey, oh my God, which is just disrespectful, in my opinion. You know, guys calling us flukes and whatnot, you know. So, look, we got to be doing something right for getting this type of media attention, whether it be negative or whatnot. But, you know, we're heading in the right direction. Everybody knows it. You know, Thibs is a great coach. I think you got to extend the man. I mean, outside of culture, great coaching, and just holding people accountable, making adjustments. Because, look, I see that narrative also creeping back. They're trying to say Thibs didn't make adjustments in Game 7, which is like, come on, man. We had players playing hurt out there. Like, how much what more could you do in that scenario? So, look, sky's the limit, in my opinion. Things are going to get better. And I honestly do feel this is the worst you're going to see this Knicks team. Obviously, lots of questions to be answered, lots of moves to make, hard decisions to make. And I have faith in this squad. I have faith in the front office that they're going to make the right ones.
Yeah, we do. Walter, what's going on? I see you in the chat. CM says Mikal, best feature is he is an Iron Man. S550 says the Nets will never trade with us, but Bridges will be that defense and length we need being at 6'6". Look, if the Nets don't want to trade with us just because we're the New York Knicks, we already own the city. We already own, I mean, we own the market. So at the end of the day, you got to make sure what trade is out there that best fits your team? And if the Knicks offer the best package, how are you going to say no because they're the New York Knicks? But hey, we'll just have to wait and see. But yeah, I mean, look, this was kind of like the beginning, our little season recap. Obviously, we'll get into everything. We talked about a little bit of trades today and whatnot, but I just want Knicks fans to, this season was great. And I thought, I think majority of Knicks fans know that. And, you know, it stinks that we, back-to-back years, we've gotten knocked out in the second round being the favorite team. But this year was just injuries. Injuries caught up to us. And I know, like Jalen Brunson says, it's no excuses, but you can use injuries as an excuse, especially since the Knicks dealt with just so much. They just ran out of gas there at the end. But yeah. Great season. But draft is coming up, signings, free agency is in July. So it's just getting started. So let's do it.
Yeah. Look, it doesn't stop, right? When it comes to New York Knicks, it doesn't stop. We're going to get all the rumors. You know, any news that breaks will be there. You know, it's the beginning. I mean, it's not the beginning of the, I mean, whatever. It just keeps going. It's just a big vicious cycle with the Knicks. But yeah, successful season in my eyes. I love this squad. Can't wait to see what's next. And Knicks Nation, you know, celebrate the season, man. Celebrate the season. Obviously, it didn't end the way we wanted it to. But, you know, the future is bright, man. And we have Jalen Brunson on this team. Don't forget it. A superstar. Our superstar, our MVP. So don't be too down, guys. Don't be too down.
I don't think no one's down. I don't think, look, I great season, and it's just on from here what the New York Knicks do next. Got some trivia for you guys, Chris.
You ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's get it done.
Which New York Knick led the team in plus minus this season? Is it A, Isaiah Hartenstein, B, Jalen Brunson, C, OG Anunoby, or D, Josh Hart?
Why do I feel like this is a trick question? Because
is it a trick question?
OG Anunoby, I know his plus minus was absolutely through this roof. I think he was setting records when he got acquired. I think it was like plus one something through like his first 10 games or something crazy like that. Crazy thing like that. Jalen Brunson, obviously, he's the MVP, and like you would think that his plus minus would be the highest on the team because when he's on the court, the New York Knicks are a different team.
Yeah.
Josh Hart does great things on the court. I love Josh Hart. Did you see them, Brunson and Josh Hart, outside of MSG greeting the fans?
I thought that was amazing. I thought it was classy for the Knicks fans too to just show the appreciation for this team, man.
I'm looking at the chat and it's like overwhelming. they have an answer. But Mike says OG ain't played too long enough, right? So he's kind of questioning the plus minus situation.
Well, I know when we, you know, like what, 20, 25, 30 games around there. So you got to take that into account too.
Look, I'm not going to say Isaiah Hartenstein. I'm going to count out Isaiah Hartenstein. I'm not going to say Josh Hart because he came off the bench half of the season. Even though his plus minus was probably still positive. I had it in my gut. I'm going to go OG final answer. He's been here half a year. And I just remember seeing those plus minus graphics go through the roof, setting records. I'm going to feel like an idiot if it's Jalen Brunson, who is probably the obvious one. But I'm going to go OG Anunoby final answer.
All right. It is not OG Anunoby. Oh. So I'll tell you who's. I'll go from lowest to highest. Josh Hart with a plus 346 is the lowest, followed by OG Anunoby at 353.
Damn, I feel like an idiot. It's Jalen Brunson.
Followed by Isaiah Hartenstein at 406. And Jalen Brunson at 512 plus minus.
It was so obvious. That's why I said it was it was a trick question.
I knew it was a good question because I saw it too. OG Anunoby was just setting crazy plus minuses throughout his you know, as soon as the Knicks acquired him. You know, I thought it was interesting to see Ihart ahead of OG Anunoby because look, that just
well, he was only here for you know half a season and then he got hurt.
This is counting 23 games for OG Anunoby.
I gotta like block the chat when I'm going through my. No, but I appreciate everything when you. Hey, I don't know. Chat came through
for me last week, so yeah, you know, last time.
Sometimes the chat comes through, but I knew it was Jalen Brunson. It was like the obvious answer, but that's why I got it wrong. I'll take the L. I'll take it on the chin. It is what it is.
Next time.
Yeah. Anyone say Jalen in the chat? A lot of OG Anunobis, Isaiah Hartenstein.
S550 actually said Jalen.
Yeah, but S550 said OG at first, and then he said it's Jalen. Yeah, but look, it's fun. That's a little trivia. We do it every podcast episode. And you stumped me there. Trick question.
There you go, man. Plenty of more of that coming.
Stupid. All right, Chris, any final words before we head up on out of here?
No, man, look, this season, again, I feel like this season was great, successful. Didn't end the way we wanted to, but look, appreciate everybody on here, you know, spending time with us when we chop it up with Knicks news, Knicks rumors, whatever it be. You know, this is our passion. We love doing it. We do it for you guys, and we're going to be back with more content, you know, more ideas. And if there's anything you guys want to see, any questions you guys have, reach out, you know, leave us comments. You know, we read everything. We try to respond to everybody. You know, we try to get to everybody. And, you know, without you guys, this is impossible. So we love you guys, man.
For sure. And obviously, as rumors come about, we look out for a lot of videos. I'm not sure the podcast schedule. If we go back to every Sunday or every other Sunday, obviously it's going to be slow. But just keep updated on the community tab at Knicks Nation and follow the Twitter at Knicks Nation and Instagram at Knicks Nation. But yeah, so successful season. Obviously, job ain't finished. You know, still got a lot of work to do and summer's just getting started. But yeah, that's it. Let's go Knicks at the end of the day.
I think that should be the... you know, the new mantra for the next season, job ain't finished.
Job ain't finished. Couple of channel announcements. Make sure you join the Discord. Link is in the bio. We're also partnered with Autograph. So Autograph is where real fans get unreal rewards by bringing the best content for your team into one place. Autograph is the first app that can recognize and reward fans, turning their passion into access and experiences. Get all of your sports content in one place. Knicks Nation podcast is on there. A lot of Knicks content creators are on there. Make sure you download the Autograph app and use code NYK. Link is in the bio. You guys can also become a member, support the channel. And yeah, appreciate every single one of you guys. Job ain't finished, so look out for those videos. We pumping out a lot of them. So be on the lookout. Appreciate the channel members too. S550, Mike. Saw you guys in here.
Yeah, man.
Let's do it.
Can't wait. Can't wait for next season already. Sucks we can't watch JV play, you know, for a few more months. But, you know, in Dakota.
I'll watch highlights.
Good luck to your Pacers. Pacers. But this series is far from over, man. This rivalry has just begun.
Tyrese Haliburton, little punk with his shirt.
We're going to see them again. We're going to see them again.
Oh. Pissed me off so much. You put that you bring that hoodie to MSG. You don't even wear it to the game. You change and wear it after you win. Oh, punk move.
He planned it, man. He planned it.
Whatever. I'm Anthony from Knicks Nation. I appreciate every single one of you guys in here. That is Chris. We'll catch you guys next time. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening. Please hit that follow button to stay updated with our latest episodes. And we also greatly appreciate those 5-star reviews. For you video enthusiasts out there, head over to our YouTube channel to catch the podcast in video form. YouTube.com/KnicksNation. You'll find all the relevant links conveniently listed in the show notes below. See you next time.